Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everyone, and this is the final show of April. It's the 29th of April. Next Sunday, it will be May 2018, and this is a show of an emerging forest, and I am pleased to have as my guest Tony Salimi, the worldwide traveler and coach, author of Hashtag Loneliness and A Path to Wisdom, creator of documentary film series about motivation and helping yourself. And without further introduction, I'd like to bring Tony onto the air. So welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for inviting me.
So it's so interesting. In my case, I went through a sort of an impossible situation, you know, what I thought was an impossible situation in my life, and came out with a different perspective in life, and solved a few problems in my own mind because I was forced to. And somewhat like that, or very similarly to that, the origin of your who you are now was sort of forced by circumstances. So why don't you describe where what you came through and what you put yourself into, and how you came out of the other side of that, of those issues.
It's very interesting when we think about how we create a new perspective when we come out of different situation, or when we are forced through being in a situation, and how our inner intelligence in a way guides us to come out. Now, depends how strong the pain is within, and depends how the person has been, I would say, shaped and formed from a very young age, is how this person may come out or may end up longer in a difficult situation, which may lead to so many different life adversities. For me, life adversity followed me from a very, very young age. It's as a young child, I experienced sexual abuse at the age of 8, 9, followed by a severe illness which left me hospitalized and lifeless and in a life support machine, which my parents then took me to some spiritual teachers and healers who started teaching me spiritual practices and healing practices at a very young age, from which I ended up building this tremendous curiosity about how come the modern medicine told my parents that I'm going to be dying and they should get ready to bury me. And then here I am in the mountains with some elderly spiritual teachers and healers who've never been to university, but every day were helping me, and I was feeling better and better and better. So I became this very curious child looking at the stars, at the universe, and questioning the origin of life and questioning our own abilities of how little we know about ourselves and also why certain things happen to us. But not only from my own perspective, I've actually been aware of this tremendous pain and shame I carried, feeling that it was my fault to what happened to me, you know, almost like 7, 6 years old, going through a sexual abuse. But also looking at the women and my own mother, how women and mothers were treated back then. I come from former Yugoslavia in Macedonia. Looking at the abuse, but also looking at how people are given labels and how everybody judges you by a label. And within me, within my heart, I knew I had to do something, and I knew it was wrong, especially looking at the inequality between gender equality and why, you know, we live in this society where it's this male dominant energy, whilst the females consistently have to say yes, 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 even being subjected to abuse. But not only that, I went in one of the top mathematics schools and engineering schools in former Yugoslavia. And there also was like an outcast because I came from different creed, different color, and different religion, as well as different nationality. So I had to really become strong and really had to focus in my studies. So I ended up becoming one of the top students in maths and physics, just to overcome the bullying that I experienced throughout my high school. If that wasn't enough, I ended up circumstantially being taken from university and being trained to be a killer and joined a civil war I deep down despised in former Yugoslav army, during which I literally lost faith in everything. I lost faith in God, I lost faith in universe, I lost faith in humanity, and I was questioning even more, how is it possible for people to become so evil in themselves that they are capable of committing crimes and atrocities in the 21st century? Now, to save my life, my mother put me on a one-way flight ticket to London, where I ended up being homeless and living homeless for almost 6 months. This is just a little summary of the kind of adversities where I had to build different perspectives and I had to really make fast decisions and learn very, very fast to be able to heal the many wounds that I had from a very young age to be able to bring me to where I'm today.
Yeah, that's it's very interesting that you have that perspective. Hi, David. Welcome to the show. David Whitman
has
joined us as well. He's my co-host. And sort of the perspective that I came out of my most recent shedding of perspective was that we do these things to ourselves to build a better character or to build more character. Or I've lost the words, all of the negative words, and I just view everything as character training, so that we envision the world as being the one side of the coin, the quote unquote side of the coin that society tells us to interact with, but there's all kinds of other sides of the coin, and we need to go there in order to be a full character. So when I was introduced to Rumi's saying out beyond the notions of right doing and wrong doing, there's a field, let me join you there, or come and join me. It wasn't until I was introduced to that in 2005, and it wasn't until 2014 where it actually came full circle, and I had to understand in my life where I was, what I had done, and why I shouldn't die, because I thought I was in the pit of darkness, where actually there isn't any pit of darkness. And so that was my spark of realization that every road is to be traveled, and that we're all here to understand that we must go to these different places. And instantly I was transformed from basically someone with no muscle tone and basically a huge head of white hair, just someone waiting to die, into an alive person again, because I was completely motivated, seeing instead of the whole landscape being dark, the whole landscape was actually completely light.
It's for sure every experience will build our character, and I was fortunate because I was introduced to Rumi and other spiritual teachers around the world from a very young age.
So
there's two sides to building our character. One is for sure to travel those different roads. But the other one, it's where we take ownership and where we consciously choose the roads we want to travel. Because while there is a lot of learning we can learn through adversity, the question I pose myself and I pose humanity, which road would you travel? The one that you consciously choose, where basically you have the least resistance, or the one where you want to go through resistance? Now, both will give you two different experiences, and both will build your character in different ways. A smart person chooses the least resistance. If we, within ourselves, don't have that kind of clarity within the self of what we want from our own life, we will let the universe, or we'll let every other external circumstances to dictate the kind of roads we need to go through, and thus we will then justify to ourselves we had to go through this pain. But the reality is we can choose multiple possibilities and choices that can create whatever road we want to travel on. I've met people who don't have to go through adversity to have an amazing character. And I also have met people who have gone through adversity, they still haven't built a character. And I have also met people who've actually gone through adversity and built great character. So it goes to show that basically it's a very, very individual road that we all go on. But when we choose consciously the kind of road we go on, we can create much faster, I would say, fulfillment that we are seeking in our soul. Because we are kind of beings that consistently we evolve, and consistently we are desiring to expand our being. Thus, we will consciously choose experiences which will nurture this inner desire for us to elevate and expand our true being.
Yeah, very true. So what you're saying is, having had a certain amount of a background of experience to the point where one sort of understands the playing field, you can look at the choices that you have in front of you and know in general what the outcomes are going to be, and then not have to travel the paths that you don't choose to, but only travel the paths that you choose to.
Absolutely. I mean, it's basic. The one thing that we all must be aware, if we are not trained within to be able to have heightened awareness about who we are people may choose this road according to the pain or the emotional state they feel within, which is very different to actually choosing a road where you feel internal balance and internal equilibrium, internal peace, and you do it consciously from a place of being centered in your heart. So I hear a lot of people choosing different roads, but if you go deep and you question them, they're literally driven by the emotional state, which is very, and this is when we choose those roads from emotional state or from deep buried fears, which most likely for most people are very, very subconscious, or from a place of control and power, we will go through those roads where we feel we need to go through massive resistance, where we then turn around and justify to ourselves saying, oh, I had to go through this so I can learn. Well, I always ask people saying, which side would you like to learn? Would you like to learn from amazing experiences, or would you like to learn from pain? And naturally, we want to learn from where we are in equilibrium. Every time we are outside of that equilibrium, and whatever road we chose, even if we choose that road, eventually we'll have to face the truth, because it's based on that false self. So it's not the true authentic self, it's the false self, all of those different layers that we've built from a very young age. And this is a danger when people choose things without really having somebody and working with somebody who actually can be a very, very clean mirror. So it makes them fully aware of those disempowered states and subconscious fears and games that the false ego plays within ourselves.
So from that perspective, and as a coach, you would be that clean mirror who would be saying to whoever you were coaching, why are you choosing that? And getting deeper and deeper into the motivation for why someone is choosing a life path or making pretty much any decision, and then unearthing before that person their real motivation for actually doing that.
Absolutely. It's a clean mirror, because I've gone through many different states of personal evolution as well as going through different experiences and different adversity. On top of that, actually investing a lot of money, time, and energy and focus with working with some of the top teachers and healers out there, as well as actually working in the corporate world, serving and managing multi-million, multi-billion pound IT programs. What I want to understand is understand the psychology behind people and what people are truly saying when they want something or when they choose something. So not only listening to them carefully, what those words are saying about the person, but also energetically and through powerful questioning, actually bringing them to the true drive, the seed of why they want to go and embark on that road. And often when you bring them to that clarity, they turn around and say, no, I don't want to go this road. Because they get a new awareness, and that new awareness is that it's aligned with their true authentic value that they have in their DNA inbuilt, where basically they know exactly what they want. And this is what I call the difference between feeling and knowing. Because most people base decisions on how they feel. And most people confuse the intuition with feeling. And the two of them are totally, totally different energies. But people who actually go internally and master their emotions and also master the duality of the ego, they can awaken their grateful heart and they can listen to the knowing of the heart, which is different to the feeling.
So
that's correct, because
when you
is ruled by emotion.
Go ahead, David.
Well, I'm saying that's correct. Feeling is ruled by emotion.
Excuse me?
I was saying your feeling is ruled by emotion. So yeah, that's correct, because when you get beyond feeling and emotion, and you get to what you're saying is a constancy of what's in yourself, right?
Basically, it's we are beings. We're basically everything we experience through our senses. So every experience around us, our senses get overloaded. Now, the information that gets to our senses gets filtered through our brain. Now, whatever we've put in our brain from a very young age, okay, and each one of us is different, those experiences that come from those perceptual filters will be filtered and a state will be created within us, which will create the emotion of how we feel about things. Now, emotion, it's not something which is stable. Emotion can change at any moment in time. So emotions can bring us into those roads which we do not want to travel. But the heart brings us into the knowing, and the knowing is the certainty, where without question of a doubt, you know this is the next step you need to make. So no matter what circumstances around you, your true knowing comes forward and say, this is what you need to do. Rather than sort of basing your decisions and basing your steps off whatever you want to change in your life to how you feel in that present moment. And often when I mean, I've been doing this work globally and I travel around the world and I work with all sorts of people from all different professions and from with businesses from different market sectors. It's when you bring people to understand the emotional side and understand how those emotions are being fed by, through those sensual filters, they get to recognize that it's not what will bring them long-term growth or long-term, I would say, a gain. They normally, people react on short-term gain and long-term pain. That's what emotions will do in one's life. But people who start to truly understand that and start to master the internal being and gets to navigate its own self, gets to know the difference between feeling and knowing.
So in your series of books and in your films, there are many exercises that one can do that are included in those in those documentation. But there's a path there to begin work and to begin cultivating what you're talking about. But then, of course, there's a path beyond that. How would you direct someone who's just beginning to walk this path to use what you have created to move forward?
To start with, I know in my heart that every human being is a powerful being. And in every human being, there's intelligence that none of us yet understand. Thus, every human being has the power to make a new choice, has the power to make a new decision. So no matter where you are in your life, whoever is listening to us, just I would love them to remind themselves the power that lives within the self, meaning we all started life from a very primitive cell, what we call primitive cell. But in that, what we call primitive cell resides the entire intelligence that creates a human being. Now, in the first book, A Path to Wisdom, How to Live a Healthy, Balanced, and Peaceful Life, what I actually wanted to help every human being, no matter where they are in their life, I wanted to create a manual that can consistently upgrade the internal mechanisms, which means both your hardware and software. Having been somebody who actually studied engineering, science, mathematics, but also spirituality, healing, mindset, psychology, cognitive behavior, neurolinguistic programming, coaching, mentoring, various life disciplines, I wanted to create a unique methodology that creates a bridge between our material world and our spiritual world. And this is what A Path to Wisdom became, the method within Path to Wisdom, which is 25 conscious engineering steps embedded in a five-step method called TGS, Evolutionary Method, ALARM. Now, alarm, the method itself, it's so powerful that when we start listening to our inner alarm, this is where we start coming into the knowing of who we are and knowing of what things we need to do for the next thing. So usually all the loud noises that come from our daily distractions and the disappointments that come from various life adversities distract and stop many people from listening to this inbuilt alarm that our own body uses to alert and awaken us when something is out of alignment from our true authentic self and our true authentic values and our true knowing which resides in our heart, in our soul. So throughout the book, the readers can actually take themselves on an inner self-reflective journey. There are powerful questions in every single chapter. But at the end, I'm revealing those 25 conscious engineering steps. And through each one of the steps, again, there are exercises, things that really will help people awaken the light within. So those powerful questions will break free the person through any form of fears or any form of life obstacles and will take them on a self-healing journey of emotionally triggered illnesses. So if somebody is experiencing health problems, for instance, by really studying a path to wisdom, you come to understand the main trigger that led to illness being in your life. But not just that, but also how to revert that process within the self. Because I also know that our body has powerful healing abilities. And many of the illnesses that we call incurable are actually curable from within the body. So normally when I work with people with some illnesses that people approach me for, if they approach me through healing, because my work is very integrated, I take them through the process for understanding the moment in time when the illness started manifesting in their life and what was happening in their life, and specifically finding the energy that triggered changes in their life that eventually went into and became the body to alarm us. And the way the body alarms us is through illness. This is when the body is alarming us that we keep pressing the snooze button when consistently it's telling us where we're not living in our truth. So really, the people can start simply by starting reading A Path to Wisdom, because now, since it's published 2014, as you probably know, Alan, in the last 3 weeks, it became, for the third time, Amazon best-selling book internationally in 4 different categories. And people across the world are sending me messages about the powerful shifts that they're experiencing just by reading the book. And also, the book is written in a high vibrational frequency that will touch people's hearts and will awaken people's mind and those disempowered states.
Thank you. We'll come back to this same journey through the tools, but what I need to do at this point is I need to take the half-hour break. So come back on the other side, everyone, and this is Dave the Bard, How and Toe.
Take no scorn to wear the horn, was the crest when you were born. Your father's father wore it, and your father wore it too. Welcome.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, it's just so interesting, everyone out there. Over the break, Tony and I and Dave were talking about why some people stay the same and why some people just move through the circumstances and exit the circumstances, and they're a different person. And Tony was relating being dropped down from former Yugoslavia from really bad circumstances into London, and just moving his way after self-motivation through those circumstances, and then traveling back to London two or three decades later and seeing the same people on the street, and he's like, well, why didn't they grab the rope? That's pretty amazing, Tony.
Thank you. I mean, it's a question I always ask myself wherever I go and all the people that I meet, and whether it's through training or through coaching, healing, being on radio, on TV, or randomly when I meet people, on the streets or in restaurants or at airports. I always pose the question why some people choose to evolve and choose to evolve fast and choose to actually follow the laws of nature, laws that basically apply to all of us, and why some people actually mm-hmm. are in harmony with life, and why some people actually really, really struggle. And this is one of the things that I had to change within myself, because I was programmed that you have to struggle in life. And the reason I believe the two things, most important things about ourselves to change ourselves, is being able to understand the working of our mind. Because these two parts within ourselves, which I believe needs to be in perfect sync, which is our heart and our mind. Now, I recently delivered a talk titled, Who is the Driver of Your Life? And the main message through that talk is I always use a lot of powerful metaphors for people to be able to digest my complex ideas and learning that I've done for over 30 years of understanding human behavior and laws of universe and how that applies in our day-to-day life when it comes to being successful, when it comes to being healthy, wealthy, and experiencing life with a lot of joy and inspiration. And one of the things I explain to people that our mind is the engine of a Ferrari, but our heart is the driver of that Ferrari. And the driver, our heart, is where our soul sits. So this is where the kingdom of our soul is. And anything your heart desires, your mind can create it. And everything your mind can see it, you can manifest it in your life. Unfortunately, not many people actually train themselves in a way they can have powerful visualizations in their head, meaning empower themselves through meditation and being able to play with their mind. Meaning, if I were to close my eyes and say, okay, I want to experience red, and my entire being becomes red. Or I want to be orange, I want to be white, or I want to be in New York, I want to be somewhere else, or I want to have a book, or whatever it may be, or I'm in a perfect health. Unfortunately, not many people spend the time to train their mind or listen to their heart. This is where most people operate from fear and from unbalanced emotions.
So after, so what would you, I mean, what is everyone, I mean, is everyone here to follow the same path, or do they have a unique calling, a unique thing that they're supposed to be doing?
I used to believe that. I no longer believe that. Reason being, it's if you look into what happens in quantum physics, and if you look at what universe is all about, and if you, let's say, you follow up the some of the universal laws and principles, you will come to understand that basically we as conscious being can choose any path, any calling consciously. And the more you evolve yourself, the more your vibration, your frequency, your energy keeps rising, the more this calling keeps changing, shifting, and realigning itself to become something bigger. Now, at the moment, as you probably know, I'm on a mission to teach this powerful methodology and what I'm sharing in my books as well as in my documentaries to change and empower and educate and inspire the lives of 1 billion people. Now, for most people, mm-hmm. when you say 1 billion people, it's unimaginable. And so it was for me. Somebody told me 10 years ago that I would be on this mission. So if you ask me, if you told me this back in when I was on the streets, the only thing I was thinking when I was on the streets, whether I'm going to see my family again throughout the war and how I'm going to get off the streets to actually earn my first salary where I can actually have clothes and food and shelter and a shower and a toothpaste to brush my teeth. So depends mm-hmm. where you are in your life. It's, you know, most people say I found my calling, or I used to go through many seminars to educate myself and to bring myself back into balance. In a sense, as we all call it, fix myself. Because when you go through so much adversity in your life, you do feel broken within the self. No matter how much other people may tell you saying, don't feel like that. The reality, you experience those emotions because the outer world is showing you where you are. And your internal world responds to that. So the more you evolve internally and the more you transcend certain states and the more you actually overcome adversity and the more you actually grow your mind, your vision, your purpose, your mission keeps evolving and keeps growing. So I personally believe that there's no such thing as one calling. I personally believe is the more you learn to deliver things in your life, the more that calling will take different forms and different shapes. So because by nature, you are somebody you evolve. You're not somebody who's limited. You're not somebody that basically this is your calling and that's it. You know, you are infinite in your nature. And in your nature, I'm talking about spirit. I'm talking about the energy that forms the physical body. So if you look at your true nature, it's infinite in its abilities to create, to innovate, create experiences. Simply, it's this wonderful, wonderful piece of equipment designed to truly explore the gifts of life.
So, is it along the same lines, when you're talking about a calling, you mean it's sort of, a calling is sort of what you're doing today, and where you are, who you are, I mean, what your quote-unquote job is today. But would you say it's possible to realize a larger purpose and to say, okay, I understand that within this larger purpose, the lower functioning parts need to be enabled first. So if maybe that's even a metaphor for the mind, the base functionality of a mechanism, say I'm selling produce, and I'm selling produce in order to create a demand for that produce, but then to give education so that people actually demand non-commercial, better nutritionally enabled produce that can only be created on local farms, local to the area that I'm in order to change agriculture, in order to change society. So moving along in that direction is actually saying, okay, first I need to enable this function at this base level, just using present level agriculture, in order to create the next level up of what I envision as a larger purpose. And
absolutely. Yeah.
So after I get to a certain point with this foundational work, that engine of selling produce will be earning enough money where I could hire someone to do the role that I used to do, and I can move on to do other roles within the total purpose mechanism that need to be enabled. So when I look at that, I'm sort of saying, okay, there's a vocation, there's a calling that I'm doing within what I envision as my larger purpose.
Yes, I mean, basically, you explained it very well. It's, in a sense, is the moment you fulfill that part of you, and the moment that from whatever you're doing right now, it creates the financial freedom that you require for you to be able to delegate everything where you are at the moment for you to go to the next level up. Meaning, the moment you fulfill this vision within the environment where you are, you potentially may want to take that nationally. The moment you've taken nationally and you've actually sorted out all the problems, all the distribution channels, everybody knows the brand, people are buying the stuff, you created higher wealth, then you want to use that to go and say, okay, let me inspire the entire America. Once you do that, you're going to turn around and say, maybe I should go in South America. When you do that, maybe you say, maybe I'm going to Europe now. Then you go into Europe, then you go global, and then you go universal. So actually, unless you overcome the challenges at a specific level, the universe, the laws of universe will not support you to go to the next level. So majority of people, they try to become marathon runners before they learn to walk.
Right. So basically, the exercise is to say, I am not going to be motivated by fear. I'm going to persist in my present position because the only reason I'm here is to go through it, attain mastery of all the details, so I can come out the other side and go to the next level.
May I correct you something in there, in what you shared?
Please do.
First of all, I've moved 10 years ago. I don't use the word motivation anymore. Reason being, motivation is an outside energy, an energy that comes from the outside, meaning the old paradigm of having the rabbit and the carrot. The carrot is the motivation. And motivation is not something that lasts. And it's something that other people are in control of and you're not in control of. So my deeper teachings take people through this energetic changes and linguistic changes within the self. So not to use the word motivation. Most people think like motivation is a good thing. But when I bring them to the idea how this creates control issues with themselves and with other people, people come to realize and say, no, it's not what motivation I want. It's inspiration. Inspiration is something that comes from within ourselves. And inspiration only comes from within ourselves when we truly align to our highest authentic values, not the injected values by other people and us wanting to live our lives according to other people's higher priorities and people's values that they force them into us. So usually you will see that in, in a day-to-day conversation when people consistently tell you what you should be doing with your life or with your business. I tend to tell people that if you are with people like that, you're actually inviting that in your life until you awaken within yourself the wisdom saying, hold on a bit, I'm actually giving control away. I'm giving my power away to other people. I'm not taking the power within. So even when I do seminars and talks in companies, majority of the people are used to the word motivation. But when I bring them to the awareness what motivation is, nobody wants it. And also when I bring people to the awareness of these energetic differences that people can make by simply changing the way they speak. Because everybody who is on a spiritual journey, who is on an awakening journey, they know by default the words have power. They know our thoughts are simply a vibration and energy. But majority of the people, although they know that, they keep using the words that they create the reality which they don't want. So what I would say, it's about really creating the inspiration within that, creating the first step and establishing this strong foundation for the growth you want to create in your physical life. Because, for instance, for me, whatever dream you have in your life, you can create it if you put your time, the energy, the resources, and the focus required, and taking the actions for you to really achieve that. But if you don't have a solid foundation, you're not going to build the growth you require. For instance, let's say we have a three-story house. And I've done this exercise with so many people just to play with them to see where they are energetically and how they think, how deep they think with themselves. And I said to them, if I give you £1 billion for you to build a Trump Tower on top of a three-story house, would you build it? All of them, they say to me, yes. And I said to them, can you actually build a Trump Tower on top of a three-story house? So when I question them a bit deeper, they realize they can't. They need to literally take off, uproot the entire three-story house and create a new foundation to be able to build a tower like that. In a similar way, whatever business you have, whatever vision you have, no matter what mission you have, start with building a strong, solid foundation that inspires you to go to the next level, that inspires you to build and grow. And on that process, you will also destroy things which no longer serve you.
Yeah, it's so that's so perfect because it's sort of, I've always had this inner feeling that I want to remain, in martial arts term, I want to remain a white belt until I actually really deserve, having mastered everything, where I actually deserve to get something higher or to be recognized as being something higher. And it's so interesting to have so many lessons taught by the business that I'm in, and it's always different. It's always, I used to see the lesson as a setback, and I used to say, I can't earn that much money. But then after I go through the lesson, you come out the other end and you're earning a little bit more, but you know so much more about circumstances and actually the real details of running a business, and you can instantly be with so many more people because of what I saw at the time as being a harsh lesson.
Yes, usually when we go into an unknown space, especially when we build a business, until that unknowing, we work through it. Once we work through it, we come to clarity. And looking back, we actually tell ourselves, why was I worried? Because you've done the learning. And then you're being, even if I called you at 5 a.m. in the morning, you'll be so sharp and you will tell me exactly how you did it. But while we're going through the process of this unknown terra incognita space that gets created in different situations, especially if we're building a business from scratch or building a business that, you know, can help many people, in your case, bringing this fresh produce to the local community at whatever prices, whatever quality, and whatever impact this will have in their day-to-day life, especially their health, then you will have to come through those challenges. Because if you're not prepared to go through the pain, you're not going to get to your rose. So this is how I tell people, imagine this garden full of, you know, thorns, and it's the most beautiful rose in the middle of that. If you're not prepared to go through those thorns, you will not get the rose. So you will not get the pleasure you will get to build something like that and to actually see the joy in other people's lives when people walk on the street and say, Alan, thank you. We enjoy your daily produce.
It's really been a... It's like talking to your brother when you or talking to someone that's just, I knew when we were introduced and when you accepted to be on the show that it would be just like talking to someone who's been down the road and would just, I mean, you do give me some very interesting insights, and I'm not motivated. I'm inspired to actually do the work to go through your books and make the investment to get to the other side. And then
it would be amazing, powerful shift.
Yeah, and then hopefully grow our network and work with you hopefully on a one-on-one basis.
It will be a pleasure to support you and grow that and take it to a whole new level.
I'm changing my language. I'm really inspired. Would you give a summary? I'm being very conscious of what time you're at. Would you, and so we're going to just shoot for an hour. Would you give a little mini summary of what you're about and where people can get in touch with your materials?
Yes, sure. It's basically, I mean, one of the things that I specialize is focusing people's energy, time, and wisdom to build not only the confidence and momentum and the work balance required to overcome personal challenges, but also resolve big business problems and problems for humanity, meaning how you can expand and elevate your true being so you can actually increase your performance, your productivity. And if you're working in big companies, which I serve a lot of leaders, how to increase shareholder profitability, because business at the bottom line, business exists because they need to make profit. They need to make profit to pay their people and to do all the things that the businesses does. So I'm currently considered as one of the world's leading authorities on the psychology of breaking through perceived limits. And one of the things which I shared with you, Alan, is about the linguistic side of things, where people use words without realizing the energy they're creating consistently and how the reality they may be in is not the reality they want to be in. So in simply mm-hmm. helping them achieve quantum leaps in empowering all of the key areas of life, including their social life, their business life, their financial life, their spiritual life, their physical life, relationship, mental and emotional well-being. So it's people can go on my website, tonyselimi.com, T-O-N-Y-Selimi, S-E-L-I-M-I.com, and they can also download a free chapter of my book, This is My Gift for Humanity. There's a blog in there and also all of my social media links, my YouTube channel, my Twitter, my Instagram, and Google. So people can really connect and follow the work and inspire themselves, because I share on a weekly basis, I share a lot. My Facebook page is Tony J. Selimi Public. People can really listen to all the different videos, my live Facebook broadcast, and I tend to interview people around the world, especially my clients and people who are actually stepping out from their comfort zone, and they really go around the world, create some amazing things, like, for instance, with my client, Joel van der Molen. We're coming to New York because the documentary we co-created, Living My Illusion, has been chosen as the opening film for the New York Film Festival. And I usually tend to interview my clients because they become very open. They don't live anymore in fear. They tend to share their stories, their pain, and everything they go through transparently with the world. So they inspire more people who may not have the courage to come forward and share. So for me, I always see how important the heart energy, when you step more and more into your heart, how easily it becomes for you to share with the world everything about you with no facades.
Yeah, I really agree with that, because you see the experiences that you've gone through as being completely non-unique. And because they're completely non-unique, they're no longer threatening. You want to say, hey, everybody, look, I've got this on me, and you've got it on you, and everybody's got it on themselves, so why are we afraid of it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very powerful thing. It's like when I helped my clients, when we started filming the documentary Living My Illusion, it came as a co-creation because they started seeing those powerful shifts from day one, just like the things that I gave you a bit of feedback, just changing the word motivation, your life will change. Because you're not seeking anything outside of you, but you're actually focusing inside of Alan for you to deliver your true calling. And when you work from that energy, you actually start to become magnet for things. So one thing that happens with all of my clients, they reverse their vibration and the frequency, and I help them fine-tune the most sophisticated equipment, which is their body, their mind, their heart, their soul, to create the program mm-hmm. they want to watch. And this is where the idea of Path to Wisdom was born, when I was very young, when basically we had, my father brought the old Grunding German TV in Macedonia, and was the first color TV back in the early 70s. And I was given the tasks to program the TV. And I had to go through the manual to find out how to do that and what frequencies I needed to program on the TV and on the actual remote control. And this is where the idea was born within myself, saying, what if I create a manual for humanity to fine-tune themselves, picture of the life they want to live? And that's what my entire work has been evolving, and it has become now, where the work that I do helps people fine-tune themselves so they can actually consciously press a program they want to watch.
Wow. That's such a powerful vision. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show tonight. And I really don't have to wish anybody the best of luck, because we get what we envision, and there's no luck in that. So, David, would you give your contact information, please?
Yeah, it's pwhitman0906@gmail.com.
Thank you. And everyone out there, I'm Alan Ritter. I own a small produce co-op store, whatever you want to call it, in southeastern Pennsylvania, southern New Jersey area, using the fruits and vegetables that come into the Port of Philadelphia at the wholesale price, which is vastly lower than the retail price, to give people more access to Mother Nature's bounty. And my contact information is, my email is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening, and have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.